Amen. Praise God. Wanda, would you read Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 2?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
For the law of the Spirit, the law in the Greek is nomos, and it means to rule, command, or influence, which the Spirit of life produces, that exerts a control, which is here we call law. For a law often means anything that by which we are ruled or governed. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of life means the Holy Spirit producing or giving life, that is, it's giving peace, joy, activity, and salvation in opposition. This is in opposition to the law spoken in Romans, the 7th chapter, that produces death and condemnation. But the better translation for law would be principle. When you read law, you need to think about principle rather than law. Because it's a principle. In all of Paul's talking and connotations in all of Paul's letters, sometimes we draw the mistaken conclusion that Paul is using the word nomos, principle, to describe the Old Testament or the law, and therefore we believe that Paul's against the Old Testament or against the law. But that's not right. So we need to notice the subtle difference of Paul's use of this word, law. In other words, this subtle use has created the popular Christian idea that Paul opposes the Old Testament, the law, and taught that the law was no longer necessary, but it was a source of our problems. Nothing could be further from the truth. So let's translate this verse appropriately and see what happens. For the principle, remember, the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of sin and death. What's the principle of sin and death? Simply, you and I have trained ourselves to obey the desires of the flesh. I'm talking about not the desires of survival. I'm talking about the desires. I want this. It's for me. It's this. I want this. I want that. That's the desires of the flesh. And we have trained ourselves to do that. And the process we have chosen again and again to make ourselves the top priority of life. We have made ourselves to worship the God of self, the God of enlightenment. You know, we talked about last week about what's happening in our world today, about the spirit of confusion, of Babel. You know, Nimrod created the spirit of worship, enlightenment. In other words, all we can think about is ourselves. And what happened in the Old Testament? In this, God sent down a spirit of confusion upon the people, upon Babel, and destroyed the temple of Baal. Destroyed it. Because when people think about enlightenment for themselves, it's all about me, it's all about this, it's all about that. God, and we start walking away from God. And what is, you know, I share it all the time. It seems like it's a kind of a broken record. But we do this. We need to And I shared last week, we need to be praying for our nation. Amen? We need to be praying that we will turn back to God. Amen? And God has released a spirit of confusion upon this nation because everybody talks about everything. We have chosen again and again to make ourselves the top priority of life. The worship the God of self, the God of enlightenment, the God of self-gratification, which we talked about that it brings. We have created a personal idolatry of fulfillment in our lives today. Unfortunately, that process leaves us with a principle, a standard operating procedure that opposes the will of God delivered in the way of God. It produces, it's opposed the way of God. We are our own spiritual enemy, fighting a battle that we cannot win alone. But praise God, God provides deliverance. Amen. I mean, he provides deliverance. There's another operating principle in this world. There's another way of conducting the business of life. It's the principle demonstrated in the actions of God's Son, taught to us by his example and the help of the Spirit. This way of living sets us free from the instant power of our previous methods. It doesn't come easy to take practice. It takes practice and patience. It takes a little agony. But it works. Over time, we can live for different purposes. We can see change. We can experience what it means to embrace the divine. Paul says, Jesus has made me free from the principle of sin and death. Jesus has made me free. That presupposes a former state of slavery. What is slavery? It means being owned by someone else. In this case, being owned by the desires of our flesh. You know, when we do what we want to do, when we do what I want to do, when the me syndrome gets going and we just do what me wants to do, we're being enslaved to the desires of our flesh. But the Hebrewic thought is not about individual license. According to the biblical record, we achieve self-control by letting ourselves be controlled. We need to think about that a little bit. We need to stop and think about it. We achieve self-control by letting ourselves be controlled. The issue is simply, who controls me? Do I control myself? Does the enemy control me? Or does Jesus control me? We need to stop and we need to ask ourselves here this morning, who controls me? I mean, I know we all say, oh, the Lord controls me. The Lord controls me. Yeah, sometimes we wonder about that, right? I mean, we say that, but who really controls us? Is it really the Lord that controls me? Paul is claiming that we can experience true freedom, that is freedom from the controlling passions of the flesh, only when we submit to the control of the Spirit, just as Jesus did. He's our example. He's the one we look to, amen? He's the one we follow. He trusted his Father. He trusted the Lord. You know, Life is about control. The principle Paul advocates is the control by the Messiah. That's what Paul's talking about here. For the law, the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle of sin and death. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I want Wanda to read. This morning I was studying and reading some things, and I want Wanda to read Romans the 8th chapter, verse 13, that goes along with this in verse 2.
For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
So the deeds of the body, we need to put to death the deeds of the body. What are the deeds of the body? You can read them, and we're not going to read them today, but you can read them in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21. They're the works of the flesh. What matters here is what we do. So what are the things that we do that need to be put to death? It's the works of the flesh. Let's look at it. I'm just going to look at one works of the flesh. In the New American Standard, it says enmity. In the New King James, the word that's translated for enmity is translated hatred and contention. Whatever we decide we should run, whenever we decide that we should run the world and make it suit our taste, we confront a problem. Other people. That conflict produces the sin called enmity. When we say we want to do this, and we got other people saying they want to do that, they want to be a god too. You know, and the world only has one room for one God. Amen. I don't care what any other religions say. I don't care whatever it is. There's only one room. There's room for only one God. Yahweh. Our God. Amen. There's only room for that. But if I've given myself over to the sins of pleasure and sins of manipulative control, I didn't even like to say those words. How many times have we been guilty of trying to manipulate people to control them? I get to thinking this morning, what about when the negotiations and business ventures and deals? We try to convince people to go my way. We're trying to manipulate them, amen? A lot of times, not always. But a lot of times that's what happens. We're trying to manipulate people into controlling them. We are always, many times we're confronted with those who don't want to do what I want them to do. What about husband and wives? Uh-oh, now we're getting the metal. Sometimes we try to manipulate our loved ones to control them to do what I want them or what we want them to do. Amen? Instead of what God wants them to do. What we got to do is, what we need to do is be doing what God wants to do. When my way is frustrated, I'll experience hatred toward them. In the form of jealousy, malice, anger. You know, this word enmity that we're talking about is not used very much today. But I was reading this morning, and we're aware of it results in civil unrest. Is there any civil unrest going on today? What about racial tensions? What about violence? What about fraud? What about genocide? What about bitterness? And in slandering people, it makes the news every day. These things make the news all the time. Amen? One person against another. We're talking about the works of the flesh. Enmity. One group opposes to another. One nation at war with another. We need to remember, there's only one God. And if we're not serving Him, we'll find we harbor hatred for everyone who is not serving us. kind of gets downward, that gets nitty gritty, amen? There's only one God. If we're not serving Him and looking for His ways, and doing it the way He says, and not serving Him, we'll find that we harbor hatred. Maybe not hate, but we're against them. For everyone that's not serving, not doing it my way. That's what serving us is. Not doing it my way. You know, I learned a long, long time ago. Please, God save me. Learned a long time ago that I didn't have to have it my way in my marriage. I had to have it God's way. Amen? I don't have to have it my way in the business world. I have to have it God's way. I don't have to have it my way in politics. Woo-hoo. I mean, that's all what politics is about, isn't it? It's having it my way. Amen? I mean, that's everybody in politics. I want it my way. I want it my way. No, let's have it God's way. And that's what we're praying for today. That's what we need to be interceding for today. We need to be interceding that our nation, the people of God first. And I like to... You know, we read that scripture. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people pray, humble themselves, and repent. I know I've got it all kind of turned around, but all those things are in there. If my people, not the world, God is saying, my people first. The church needs to be doing the praying, amen? The church needs to be seeking God and saying, I want it God's way, not the Methodist, not the Baptist, not the Independent, not this way, not that way, God's way, amen? So praise God for the law, the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle of sin and death. Praise God. And let's just be ever mindful all the time that I want to be in the principle of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. I want to be doing what He wants me to do. You know, I have this saying, and I know you get tired of hearing me. God wakes you up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. But sometimes pray, God, I want to do what you want to do. I want you to work in my life that I'm doing your will. That I'm doing it your way. Amen? So praise God. This morning, I want it your way, God. I want it that I'm in submission to you, Lord. Amen? So, Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, that we just release ourselves to you this morning. We release ourselves to you that we, for the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is setting us free from the principle of sin and death. And Lord, that we are living for you. We are living for you. You, not any other God, but you. Not the God of me, not the God of self, not the God of self-gratification, but the God, but you, Lord. And we thank you, and we magnify you, and we glorify you. And we just glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, work in each one of us this morning. Work in us. Work in our nation. Lord, work in our nation to bring about this nation to be again one nation under God. And we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen.